So, Brazil ranks first in the world in the consumption of transgender and transvestite pornography. But Brazil is also the country where most trans women are killed in the world.
Gender transition can be a difficult road to navigate, but imagine starting the process in a country where you don't speak the language very well or don't understand the health system. And even when you do, you still have to translate your feelings to your family and friends. I am Felipe Canali, the host of a new podcast from SBS, Transitioning in Translation, where Portuguese speakers share their experiences regarding gender transitioning in Australia. I've been writing about sexuality for the last 10 years, and my work has been published in 14 different languages. And by seeing this content being translated, I noticed that stories about the trans and gender diverse community are still perceived as taboo, and the lack of knowledge and representation leads to more prejudice and marginalizes this community. In today's episode of Transitioning in Translation, I talk with Patricia, a Brazilian psychologist who works with children, teenagers, and adults from different nationalities who are undergoing gender transitioning here in Australia. Patricia, first I would like to thank you for being here today with SBS. Could you please tell us a little bit more about your professional experience with children and teenagers?
I have been working as a psychologist both here and in Brazil for the past 10 years. During my process to validate my degree here in Australia, I did an internship in a private practice in Victoria's countryside. This clinic, I used to work with plenty of children and teenagers, many of them who were having queries around their gender identity. When a child used to have a query around their gender identity, I used to conduct some assessments to verify if there was any diagnosis and if there was any potential gender dysphoria. And if I identified the presence of gender dysphoria, I used to refer the child or the teenager for the Monash Clinic or to the Royal Children's Hospital for further assessment. And if we were talking about a teenager, to start the transition process.
And besides working with children and teenagers, you also work with grown-ups of different ages and from a lot of countries, right?
Yes, I do. So now I have my own private practice and I work with people from different age groups. People who are either processing the idea of having another gender identity or people who already identify themselves as another gender.
And Patricia, do you believe there is an appropriate age for people to undergo gender transitioning?
No, Felipe, I don't believe there is a specific age or time to start gender transitioning. It's never too early nor too late. The appropriate time is when the person feels ready to do so. It's just important for us to take in consideration that each step has a specific time frame and require a specific date for the person to start to do it. So for instance, when we are talking about puberty blockers, there is a hormone that a preteen can take to stop puberty, to make it easier to transition in the future, needs to be taken before 16 years old. And when we are talking about gender-affirming surgery, it can just be performed after 18 years old.
There are lots of ways in which someone may transition. For every person is a unique process. However, after seeing professionals such as psychologists and endocrinologists, how can one start in gender transitioning from a physician's perspective?
So, after the person is assessed by health professionals as someone who is presenting gender dysphoria, the first medical procedure to start the transition is hormone therapy. There are no surgeries to be performed if the person is younger than 18 years old. But it's really important for us to notice that not all transgender and non-binary person would need to have a gender confirmation surgery. Many people feel pleased only by knowing and identifying themselves as a transgender person. And for these people, non-invasive treatments might be enough, such as attending a speech pathologist to modify their pitch, or having cosmetic treatments such as Botox, laser hair removal, fillers. The person does that to make sure that they are feeling well and they are feeling good on their physical body, and they don't necessarily need to go through gender confirmation surgery. When we are talking about transitioning to another gender, the most important thing is for the transgender person to feel good about themselves and feel comfortable with the place that they are having in society.
And Patricia, when construction of gender takes place in a person's life?
Construction of gender takes place since an early age, when a person is a baby. Parents will constantly replicate to their baby the societal rules that they know about gender. So, for instance, they will say that boys should play with toy cars and that girls should play with dollies, and they will dress the boys in blue and the girls in pink. So that way they will replicate to the child what they know, or what they think they know about gender identity. When a child is only exposed to a certain type of toys or a certain type of clothes, they are not allowed to explore other alternatives, and they tend to learn that those rules are the rules that they need to follow, and they tend to replicate that on their life.
Do you think it may be harder for a foreigner than it is for locals to transition?
Well, yes and no. It could be easier for a local to go through the transition process here in Australia, once a local would have access to Medicare, would be able to express themselves better in English, and also this person would have a cultural values different from an immigrant, for instance. Depending on where this immigrant is from, this person might face lots of challenges to accept themselves and also to start the transition process, mostly due to the society and cultural values from the place that they were born before they came to Australia. Much of what a person is and their identity is influenced by the environment they are in. As I mentioned before, I'm from Brazil, and Brazil, as most as the Latin American countries, have sexism and machismo as part of their society, is carved deep into our beliefs, which is terrible. Therefore, it could be much harder for a Latin person to go through the transitional process because they cannot question if they are a male or a female, they just need to be. So it could be really, really hard for this person to start the transition process, even though it might be something that they really want. I know I keep mentioning Brazil, but Brazil, once again, is the perfect example of this difficulty, this challenge that a trans person might face. So Brazil ranks first in the world in the consumption of transgender and transvestite pornography. But Brazil is also the country where most trans women are killed in the world. So it is like a trans woman in Brazil can be objectified. They can serve as an object of pleasure for cisgender heteronormative men, but they suffer violence and they suffer the consequences of sexism and machismo just for being who they are when they are living their day-to-day lives. So now, given this example, imagine a trans person from Latin America coming to Australia and learning about Australia culture and seeing how transgender people is more accepted here in Australia, how transgender people has the right of transitioning more easily here in Australia. This person would feel more comfortable in exploring their newfound freedom.
Before we start this conversation, you told me that feminism plays a huge role in the transgender community, mainly when it comes to trans women. Could you please elaborate?
This is a really good topic, but also a really, really controversial topic within the feminism. And the same way that psychology has different branches of work, different types of specializations, feminism also has different branches and different types of beliefs depending on the branch of feminism that you follow. The feminism that I follow and that I believe is the intersectional feminism, which believes that each individual, each person has their own challenges with oppression and with discrimination. So an intersectional feminist will fight for the right of women, of trans women, and we understand that a trans woman will suffer twice as much discrimination and oppression as a cisgender woman. Because, as I was mentioning before, we live in a patriarchal society, which means that men are superior according to our society and men are in power. So, when we are talking about a trans woman, this trans person gave up on their power for being a person who was born with the male sex to become a woman. And this is why it's so important to us to include trans women on the conversations that we have within the society when we are talking about gender equality, when we are talking about power and patriarchy, because if we don't include everyone into the conversation, things won't change. Identifying yourself as a woman is a choice, is an identity that the person has. So it's not our right as a cisgender woman to take away the power or the voice of a transgender woman just because her sex at birth was different from the sex at birth of a cisgender woman. We both suffer. We both are minorities, and minorities, they need to unite instead of finding reasons to distance themselves.
Patricia, it's essential daily educate ourselves. So could you please clarify what cisgender, transgender, and non-binary mean?
A cisgender person is a person who identifies themselves with the sex they were assigned at their birth. So, there's a match between their gender at birth and their actual gender identity, their actual way of perceiving themselves in the world. A transgender person is a person who does not identify themselves with their sex at birth. So, there's a discrepancy between their gender and their sex they were assigned at birth. Therefore, this person will identify themselves more with the other gender. A non-binary person is someone who does not identify themselves neither as a male or a female. They might also use non-binary terms or gender diverse terms to describe themselves, like they and them, and it's just their gender identity.
How can therapy help people in the transitioning process?
Most of trans people that I have worked with and that I work with, they are aware that their sex at birth, it doesn't match completely with their gender identity. They have this clarity. So the conversation that we have usually is around those topics that I mentioned first, not so much with the fact that they are struggling for being a transgender, coming out to the world as their gender identity. They will need to help with some support to deal with transphobic people that they will find on day-to-day lives.
Patricia, I spoke with Mama Alto, who is the CEO of Transgender Victoria, which is the leading body for trans and gender diverse advocacy. And according to her,
trans and gender diverse people experience higher rates of negative mental health outcomes, including depression, anxiety, suicidal ideation attempts. And that's not because we are transgender, but because of the impacts of systemic discriminations, stigma, intolerance, harassment, and abuse that we face.
Patricia, thanks again for being here today talking to us. And to conclude our talk, why do you think gender diversity is still a taboo, and why is it important to discuss it?
Yes, gender diversity, it is a taboo in society, and it will be until we impose limits to homophobes and transphobes, limits to those who are saying what is right and what is wrong within society. Many of those who are transphobes and homophobes today, they were raised in this patriarchal society that believes that cisgender, heteronormative, white, male men, they are in power, and they were raised to be sexist. And they tend to replicate the things that they heard when they were growing up. We need a revolution. We need to make it different. We need to change the school's curriculums to ensure that all the minorities are heard. We as a society need to talk more openly about gender identity, about gender roles, and we need to give minorities a voice. We should change the way that we are perceiving the world so everybody can be seen as the same.
You can join me for more episodes of Transitioning in Translation, a new podcast from SBS in Portuguese and English on the SBS Portuguese website or in your favorite podcast app.